Det regnar i Los Angeles den dag jag ska träffa Joni Mitchell. Det verkar nästan vara mer än en tillfällighet. Dels regnar det sällan i Kalifornien överhuvudtaget. Och dels är anledningen till att jag ska träffa Joni Mitchell att hon har gjort klart en ny skiva kallad Chalkmark in a Rainstorm. Kritstreck i regnet. Det är hennes 15:e LP sedan debuten 1968. Joni Mitchell har gjort musik i 3 decennier och varit med om att skapa modern amerikansk musikhistoria, så kanadensiska hon är. Här är först en 50 år gammal låt som hon gör på sin senaste skiva, Bing Crosby's och Burl Ives med fleras Cool Water. Det här är Joni Mitchells kontor, eller hennes manager Peter Ashers kontor i Hollywood, Los Angeles. Joni står och fnissar och berättar skvaller för Gloria och de andra i personalen på det här kontoret. Vi hörde Joni Mitchells version av en gammal välkänd amerikansk slagerhit för många decennier sedan, Cool Water. Här i duett med Willie Nelson från hennes senaste LP. Jag måste erkänna att jag är lite nervös inför det här mötet med Joni Mitchell. Det har tagit mig 3 år och många försök att överhuvudtaget få en intervju med denna tillbakadragna dam som bor här uppe i bergen ovanför själva Los Angeles. 5 år gammal har hon blivit och det syns när hon till slut sätter sig lite närmare mig och vi börjar prata. Till att börja med om den här låten vi hörde, Cool Water.
My neighbors used to sing it sometimes when they would get drunk. I can remember this one occasion where the Mowats were sitting on their back porch drunk and singing Cool Water. And Milne, who was the neighbor on the other side, couldn't sleep, and he came over and he said to them, Cool Water, you want cool water, I'll give you cool water. And he turned the garden hose on them. I know that song for many years.
When journalists these days try to roughly sum up your career, they say about Joni Mitchell that, well, she started playing folk music, then she turned into jazz, and now she's playing pop music. How do you like that?
Well,
very rough.
Yeah, I never turned into jazz. That's ridiculous. You know, I did one jazz project with Charles Mingus. That's the only pure jazz I did. I played with jazz musicians because the harmony of my folk music, you know, quote unquote, was weird to rock musicians at that time, and they couldn't play my music. The drums didn't understand the subtleties of rhythm. The guitarists couldn't understand the harmonic voicings. And finally they said to me, Joni, you got to play with jazz musicians. But even jazz musicians, when they would write my chords out, they would, because they were inversions because of the tunings, they were an unusual chordal system to that idiom too. My music is almost its own idiom. It's not any of these things.
Min musik är bara som sig själv, säger Joni Mitchell. Nej, både jazz- och popmusikerna har haft problem genom åren att förstå hur hennes musik är uppbyggd. Det handlar bland annat om ett harmonisystem som bygger på olika stämda gitarrer. Saker hon lärde sig under åren på folkklubbarna och kaféerna.
Born with the moon in cancer. Choose her a name she will answer to. Call her green, and the winters cannot fade her. Call her green for the children who've made her little green. Be a gypsy dancer. He went to California. Hearing that everything's warmer there, so you write him a letter and say her eyes are blue. He sends you a poem and she's lost to you. Little green, he's a non-conformer, just a little green, like the color when the spring dawns. There'll be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow. Just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes there'll be sorrow. Child with a child pretending, weary of lies you are sending home. So you sign all the papers in the family name. You're sad and you're sorry, but you're not ashamed. A little green, have a happy ending. Just a little green, like the color when the spring is born. There'll be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow. Just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes there'll be
In the coffee houses when I began, there were two camps, Gibson guitar players, and they sang the blues, and Martin guitar players, and they sang British ballads, and I belonged to that school because that was a more melodic school.
Joni Mitchell berättar att hon tillhörde Martin-gänget. Det fanns två gäng på folkklubbarna och kaféerna när hon började i mitten av 60-talet. Martin-gänget som spelade akustiska Martin-gitarrer. Det hon hörde. Och så blueslirarna som spelade Gibson. Det var i Kanada Joni Mitchell började syssla med musik. Hon kommer därifrån. Född Roberta Joan Anderson. Och hon berättar för mig att hon nog sysslar med det hon gör av ett slags historiskt tvång. Hon känner starkt för de öden som drabbade dels hennes norskättade farmor och hennes irländska mormor.
They say of my paternal grandmother, who comes from Norway, that in Norway, she and I come from farming people on both sides of my family. In Norway, she went out behind the barn. She was 14, and she cried her eyes out because she wanted so badly to play the piano. She then said to herself, "You silly girl, you're never going to play the piano. You're never going to have a piano, so just dry your eyes and forget about it." They say that's the last day in her life that she cried. She married a Norwegian from, you Swedes will love this, from a town called New Norway in Alberta. He was a mean drunk. Everything in his face was sour. Everything in her face went up. Her children, and she had a lot of them, said that she was a saint. She never complained. She just gave. So when you think of that, the last time in a woman's life she cried, she was 14. She cried for a piano, and she went on to be a giving maternal type. Mm. Now my maternal grandmother, the other Sadie, came from a musical family in the East. And she came to Saskatchewan, which people said, this is man's country. It was tough land. It was pioneering out there. You know, go home. She married a farmer. She had an organ in the farmhouse. She played for local affairs and wrote poetry. And she kicked the kitchen door practically off the hinges. She was a real spitfire, Scottish-Irish. No, she was Irish. Kicked the door off out of frustration because she was a musician stuck on a farm. So I think I had to do it for them.
Lucky Girl, en senare Joni Mitchell-låt från LP:n Dog Eat Dog från 1985. Wayne Shorter spelar saxofon. Joni Mitchell tillhör den där ovanliga sortens musiker och kompositörer som sysslar med popmusik men som också är konstnärer. Det slår mig när vi sitter där och pratar. Det är svårt att sätta fingret på, men hon ger intryck av att vara en sån där känslig typ som om jag petar för hårt på henne så går hon sönder. Samtidigt utstrålar hon en enorm styrka, en medvetenhet om att det hon gör är bra, att det är unikt och att ingen annan gör det hon gör. Hon växte alltså upp i Kanada, Joni Mitchell. Hon tar för mig att hon tidigt kände att det var konst, musik och poesi hon drogs åt. Fast staden i Saskatchewan hon växte upp i var en utpräglad idrotts- och sportort, så hon kände sig vid sidan av redan från början.
I spent a lot of time in the country by myself as a child. Mm. And as a child, I rode my bike into the country, often sat out there by myself, went looking for pretty places. I was very involved with nature, loved birds' nests. I had a fascination for birds' nests, of all things. Now, in my early childhood, the small towns in Saskatchewan had a pretension to European classicism. So I was exposed to classical music in this manner.
Mm-hmm.
And when rock and roll came along, I loved to dance. So I learned my rhythm and my time and the spirit of that music from partner dancing. Mm. And then when the folk movement came along, because it was so simple and so easy to learn, I got a guitar, I woodshedded, and in a few months I was earning a little bit of money in coffee houses.
Goes and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds.
Joni Mitchells första framgångar var inte alls att sjunga sina egna låtar. Här har vi till exempel Judy Collins med Both Sides Now, en tidig Mitchell-komposition. Och sen var Joni med om Woodstock, den legendariska festivalen i New York State. Hon skrev en låt om äventyret.
By the time we got to Woodstock, we were half a million strong, and everywhere there was song and celebration. And I dreamed I saw the bombers riding shotgun in the sky, and they were turning in to butterflies above our nation.
But then you found a home in California.
I've been here for a long time. I guess that constitutes a home. The 60s were very different. LA in the 60s and L.A. in the 80s are two different animals. California in the 60s was a hotbed of a certain optimism. It's always been an experimental state. The experiment at that time was higher consciousness and brotherly love. And whether or not people could do it, at least they attempted. I've been here longer than I've been any place in my life. I have old friends here. There's much to complain about here, but, you know, and it's hard to set down roots in sand that's shifting and threatening to erupt at any day, you know. I mean, this is the city of natural disasters, fire and mudslides and the coming earthquake and the smog, and
I have to come and see you, maybe once or twice a year. I think nothing looks at me better right now than some downtown atmosphere. In the dance halls and the galleries, betting in the old TV. Rises over a little late. We could tuck it up till the clock gets up. Swapping stories, sitting around in some all-night zoo,
watching it run like a movie.
Synchronized like magic. Good friends with me.
No hearts of gold, no nerves of steel.
No blame if we
intent. There is chaos to the order. Random things you can't prevent. There could be trouble around the corner.
There could be beauty down the street.
Synchronized like magic.
Good friends you need. No hearts of gold, no nerves of steel.
Oh, blame for what we can and cannot be.
No nerves of steel, no hearts of gold.
No blame for what we can.
I think that a lot of your audience think that a song for you has to have a content. I mean, you don't do music just from a musical point of view. Is that true? I mean, that
song is the marriage of words and music. The English, since that's the language that I write in, must be married to the melody with the correct inflections. I mean, there are a lot of fine points to my craft at this point after 15 albums. If you're word-oriented, the words become the most important. I'm considered in classical circles to be, in some classical circles, to be a serious classical composer in this culture. They pay very little heed to the lyrics at all. It depends on your predilection. Journalists, in this culture anyway, know very little about music. As a result, they tend to emphasize my poetry. But my harmony is unique, and my musical adventure, the schools of music that I'm traveling through, that is also unique and of some fascination to classical scholars.
Det är inget fel på Joni Mitchells självförtroende när det gäller den egna styrkan. Min musik är föreningen mellan ord, poesi och musikalisk komposition. Inte bara det ena eller det andra, säger hon. Joni Mitchell tycker att journalister i allmänhet vet alldeles för lite om musik. Och professionella musiker och klassiskt ansedda kompositörer vet alldeles för lite om ordens betydelse. Det kan hon nog ha rätt i. Hon har alltid ansetts bland musiker och var en av de mest spännande låtskrivare och artister som finns och arbeta tillsammans med. Det är ingen fällighet att när jag träffar henne i Los Angeles har jag med mig färska hälsningar och en blyg förfrågan från gitarristen Adrian Belew, en man som spelat med Frank Zappa, David Bowie med flera med flera. Han undrar försynt om hon skulle kunna tänka sig och jobba med honom någon gång. Det har han alltid drömt om. En man som har betytt mycket för Joni Mitchell i hennes musikaliska utveckling är Charles Mingus, svart jazzmusiker och autör, som när han var döende i en svår sjukdom i slutet av 70-talet bad Joni göra text och sjunga in det som skulle bli hans sista musik. Joni Mitchell, som själv aldrig hade tyckt om eller riktigt kunnat ta till sig den svarta blues-traditionen dittills.
When I worked with Charles Mingus, whose music is based in the blues, he took me on a very sophisticated journey through the blues. It was really quite a job. After going through the complexity of that, the simple blues opened up to me, and now could I appreciate the beauty of the roots. I've always been like that, though. I have to go from complex to simple rather than from simple to complex.
There's things I wish I'd done. Some friends I'm gonna miss. Beautiful lovers. I never got the chance to kiss.
pain of living. Processions of missing lovers and friends fading, and they fade out again in these daydreams of rebirth. I see myself in style, raking in what I'm worth. Next time, I'll be bigger. I'll be better than ever. I'll be resurrected.
Was this this journey through the blues, was that your the essence? If I ask you what was the major thing you received from living and playing with Charlie, would that be it?
That was one thing. The other thing was, see, he wrote these six melodies for me to, he called them Joni 1, Joni 2, Joni, he flattered me because he wanted me to do this project. And they had to be, he was dying, and basically they were to be his epitaph, or his requiem, you know. And they had to be written, some of the point of view. The one that I liked the melody to the most, the one that I would start to work on first, I said, what should I write this about? He said to me very wryly, I want you to write this about the things I'm going to miss. So I wrote A Chair in the Sky, which sung in first person. I sing I, but it's Charlie's soul speaking. It's Charlie speaking. Now, that's a delicate position to be a white woman singing a dying black man's soul in the first person. So, and also I had never really sung jazz, even though they had said, oh, Johnny's jazz now. You know, no, I'd never really sung in the jazz idiom, and some of it, frankly, to me sounded corny. As a matter of fact, Charles and I had a kind of a fight over one note. He said, you know, he wanted me to strictly adhere to his melodies, and there was a phrase at the end that went, ba-da-bo-dee-ba-ba. See, ba-ba, I can remember his melody. Ba-ba-bo-dee-ba-ba. Right, blue note on the end. And I sang, ba-ba-bo-dee-ba-ba. And he said to me, that's a corny note. You're singing the wrong note, and that's a corny note. I said, well, Charles, with the lyric that I had there, the blue note didn't seem to work. It left it unresolved, and I needed it to go up. I said, well, Charles, I need it to go up. I told him that. And he said, no, that's a corny note. I said, well, look at it this way, Charles. That note has been hip so long, your note has been hip so long, that it's corny again. And that corny note has been dead so long that it's hip again. So he smiled at me and he said, can I swear on the air?
That's all right.
He said, okay, motherfucker. He said, you play one note for me, one note for you, and put in a grace note for God.
I followed him down the strip. He picked out a booth, a circus, where the cowgirls filled the room with their big balloons. The cleaner was pitching with purpose. Yeah, dinos and poo bears and lions, pink and blue there. He couldn't lose them.
The Dry Cleaner from Des Moines. Joni Mitchell från LP:n som sen kort och gott kom och kallas Mingus efter Charlie Mingus död 1979. Hela det här Joni Mitchells sökande och experimenterande med jazzmusiker bland annat under 70-talet, det var någonting som ingen alls egentligen ville att hon skulle göra i USA på den tiden. Recensenter och andra tyckte, som man alltid har tyckt i USA, att hon skulle hålla sig till det hon kunde, Joni Mitchell, folkpoppen. Radion slutade till och med i stor utsträckning att spela hennes skivor.
So you could say it killed my pop career, making that album. My manager and everybody begged me not to, but how could I resist? You know.
And everything after that has been a long effort to
regain pop validity.
Can you foresee yourself as an old woman?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm gonna have a cane and I'm gonna poke people in the butt and tell them what I really think.
You look forward to still be a recording artist?
In my old age? Mm-hmm. That depends on the support, you know. We'll have to see what the results are like, won't we? I mean, my talent is far from shriveling up, that's for sure. But I am in the pop arena. How can a woman grow old in the pop arena? It remains to be seen, you know. You can as a painter, certainly, you know.
You really consider yourself to be in the pop arena?
Well, there is only the pop arena, really, now. I mean, there is no line between pop and classicism like there used to be, neither in painting nor in music. It's all there is. You know, in order to make records, you have to sell records, or the company won't take you. In order to sell records, they have to be played on the radio. Otherwise, people don't know they came out. If people don't know they came out, they don't sell, and the record company doesn't hire you. So, because of that, there isn't much besides the pop arena. So I'm an odd thing in the pop context, I think.
It's a place that you, like no one else I know, might appreciate.
Secret place. place. It's a place no amount of hurt and anger can defeat. I put things back together then. It all falls right in place in my special space. Once I saw a film in New York City that was shot in Colorado. Girl meets desperado in the trembling mountain trees. Out of all of the girls that you see in bleachers and cafe windows, sitting flirting with someone, looking to have some fun.
My Secret Place har vi hört. Joni Mitchell och Peter Gabriel från Joni Mitchells senaste LP Chalk Mark in a Rainstorm. På tal om hennes ganska nyktra distans till branschen och det hon håller på med, så kan jag berätta att jag frågar henne där i Los Angeles lite seriöst så där om vad det är som drar henne till inspelningsstudion igen. Vad som motiverar henne att spela in nytt igen. Och hon ler och svarar: ja, jag har ju ett skivkontrakt att uppfylla om inte annat. Den här senaste skivan är definitivt inte hennes bästa, det tror jag inte ens hon själv tycker. Men den är bra, och jämfört med det mesta substanslösa popmusik som görs idag så är Joni Mitchells musik fylld av intressanta detaljer, både musikaliskt och textmässigt. Hon blir till exempel mer och mer politiskt tydlig för varje skiva. Det går ut för på allvar med det här landet, säger hon till exempel om USA.
This culture, as you know, is in its decline. America's number one power is in its decline. This is evident. America is the last to be able to admit this, but...
Then maybe it's positive that America is declining.
Well, I think one of the problems America has is it's been number one for some time now, and it tends to see things in black and white, in absolutes, winners and losers, and none of the richness that lies in between. This culture says, he's a winner, he's a loser. You know, nothing is that concrete.
No, the myth of success in this country is very simple.
Exactly, it's simplistic.
Of your early albums, it seems to me as, both in America and in Europe, in Sweden, Blue is a kind of a special album for your audience. Why do you think that is an album that's still... has that power?
Well, I think it's a very pure album, you know, and like the simplicity and the clarity of certain pieces of art holds up. Just some complex things hold up also, but I think it's the purest of the albums. Emotionally, it was shocking its release in that much intimacy had never entered into the pop arena. There were people working that way. They were called the confessional poets. We were called the confessional singers because after me there came a group of people who worked in that manner until people couldn't stand us confessing anymore, and they said, no more. We don't want to hear that anymore. We want to party.
Is it your most autobiographical collection of songs?
Well, all of the work is fiction, and like all fiction, it is based on autobiography.
Songs are like tattoos, you
before. Crown and anchor me, or let me sail away. Hey, blue, there is a song for you in Conopin.
One person speaking in your ear, and I think that for certain moods people like that record for that reason.
I can't leave Los Angeles in this interview without asking this. Last year you lost another of your close musical friends and companions, Jaco Pastorius. Can you in a few words try to explain and describe what he was to you?
Jaco, he claimed he was the man in the moon, Jaco. He had a funny face, a very strong face, very intense, and good-natured when I knew him. The time that I knew him, he was just getting established in this town. He was a new kid in town, and he came in like a storm, boastful. And a lot of people were offended by it. It didn't offend me. I don't mind a big, bushy ego, and like he said, oh, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling the truth. And in fact, he was what I was waiting for, because for years I had been fighting with the style. Style takes over, and people will not go against style. And the style was dead string basses and pillows in the kick drum. And the deadness of the bottom end of music was driving me crazy. Now, I wanted them to take the pillow out, and I wanted round, full sounds, like Police later came up with that sound. It was very innovative, but it took a long time in coming, with a third world flap to the kick, you know. So I mean,
and a singing bass.
And a singing bass. And so when Jaco came along, we were on the same beam. Because Jaco would be up there sailing around, you know, and dropping in all these like little bits of Rites of Spring, you know. Fantastic.
Not what a bass player is supposed to do.
No, he was as fresh as, and he was everything I dreamed of. If I could have played the bass, I would have played like Jaco.
Thank you very much, Joni Mitchell.
You're very welcome.
And good night.
Good night.
Joni Mitchell tillsammans med Mikael Nilsson. God Must Be a Boogeyman heter sista låten. Och Jaco Pastorius fanns med. Programmet kom från Riksradion i Växjö, och för inspelning och ljudmix svarade Håkan Malmberg. Ett nytt musikporträtt från Växjö om 2 veckor med Ray Cooder. Det hör ni även då här i Riksradions P3. Klockan är 24.